America continues to move away from our biblical foundation. The LGBTQ agenda is being embraced and the murder of babies is being celebrated. This is a dark time for our country, but AFA is still fighting back, and we refuse to give up. Will you donate today to help us keep standing against every new attack? We'll give you access to the online video, AFA at Home, Spiritual Warfare. Visit afaaction.net, and thanks in advance. afaaction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a good morning. Hey, when you wake up, you need to remember Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You make the choice to rejoice every day. Now, as you well know, we are in a political season. In November comes the big vote for president, along with other races. But news media is just chock full of the latest: who said what, and who accused what of terrible, something terrible, and something horrible. You can just get inundated with that. I am very thankful for American Family Association, American Family Radio, because it cuts through all the chatter and all the lies, and it gives you the truth. And so I appreciate all the hosts. I appreciate Tim Wildman, my friend, and just all that's done at AFR and AFA to help people stay informed. But it is important. If you're like me, you have to make sure that you don't get too far into this stuff, because what happens, in any given news cycle, it's here today, gone tomorrow, and then they're moving on to other things. And so we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. I think it was Corrie ten Boom says, you know, if you look around, you're going to get dismayed and you're going to get fearful, as Jesus told Martha, who was so upset because Mary wasn't helping her cook the meal. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are really necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And so if we're not careful, we can start looking around. We can get worried and bothered. We can look at polls and say, oh, my candidate is not ahead in the polls. Oh, what does that mean? And we can project out, well, what happens if this person gets in office? That will be terrible, and the end will be here. Jesus said, when you see all these things take place, look up, be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near. If the bottom drops out, you just say, okay, the Lord is coming soon. He is near. He's right at the door, as it says in Scripture. So today I just want to encourage you with the truth of God's Word in the midst of the uncertainties that we feel in our country and in the world. And there are no doubt, I mean, your head is in the sand if you don't know that there are some bad actors that are trying to destroy. They're energized by the enemy. They may not know that they are. They're being used by the devil. They're not the enemy, but they're being used by the enemy, who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And as I said yesterday, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, is pushing this world. God's allowing him to do it, but he's pushing this world toward a one-world government, toward a one-world leader known as the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, whose number is 666, the number of a man. Seven is the number of God, and God is Trinity. God is 777, and when the beast comes and the Antichrist takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God, he's 666. He's man pretending to be God. And so in the midst of all of this, we need to keep grounded in the truth of who Jesus is. Because as you feel your heart getting worried and getting bothered, just know, hey, I've probably taken my eyes off Jesus. I'm probably looking too much to the circumstances of the day that changes like the wind from one day to the next. Who knows what's going to happen in this political season? I think anybody that was honest would have said, hey, Joe Biden is in no position to run the country. He's in no position to run for president. Well, he's still, quote unquote, running the country, but he had to drop out of the presidential race. And so you don't know what's going to happen. God's in charge of all of this. So we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now, Sunday, I had mentioned to you, we had the Lord's Supper and a whole service dedicated to remembering the word of the cross and what Jesus did when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And we went to Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ as the book starts. And sometimes people will call the book of Revelation, Revelations. They'll put an S on it. That's not what it is. It's the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the unveiling, the revealing of Jesus Christ. And the Lord gave that to John, who was exiled on the island of Patmos, to show the things which must shortly take place, as it says in verse 1. And Revelation says, interesting book. It's one of those books that a lot of people don't read because they have difficulty understanding it. But Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. The book of the Revelation is a blessing book for the child of God. And it's a blessing book for those who read it and those who heed it. And it is not a blessing book for those who don't know the Lord, because it spells out their doom. But for the child of God, it spells out our victory. And Revelation ends, chapter 21 and chapter 22, in the eternal state where we see the Lord's face and we serve him day and night. And it's going to be wonderful. The future's so bright, as the song says, I have to wear shades. And forever and ever and ever we'll be with the Lord. So blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, he goes on to say this, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. That's the Lord God, the Father, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus was the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus is prophet. He was a faithful witness. He is priest. He died on our behalf. He interceded for us. He is our great high priest, the firstborn of the dead, preeminence. He was the first one to come out of the grave and conquer death, hell, and the grave. And firstborn doesn't mean just first in time, but first in preeminence. And the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And this is what John records about Jesus. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when life is tough, really at all times, but especially when life is tough, it's good to go back to Revelation chapter 1 and read what the scripture says about Jesus and his attitude toward you and to me. It says that he loves us, present tense, loves us. You know, I think that is one of the key things that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. Understanding that God is God and you're not God. You give God his rightful place as king. You take your rightful place as his slave, his doulos. But then to understand that God is love. We love, the scripture says, 1 John chapter 4, we love because he first loved us. And you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Well, how do you do that? Well, it doesn't happen until you first receive His love. We love because He first loved us. To Him who loves us. You know, why did the Father send His Son into the world to be the Savior of the world, to seek and to save that which was lost? John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world. Now the world is big. The world is massive. It's hard to be specific about the world. It's just a faceless humanity. And Christians know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it's good to stick your name in there. For God so loved you. For God so loved Jeff Shreve that He gave His only begotten Son. I remember my secretary, when I was working at Champion Forest Baptist Church, in the pastor's office with Pastor Damon Shook, I had my secretary, he had his secretary, and they were right there together, and Donna was Pastor Shook's secretary, but she and I engaged a lot and talked a lot, and she said to me one day, she said, you know, I hear preachers and they'll say things like, if you had been the only person in the world, Jesus Christ would have come and died for you. She said, you know, that sounds good, but is that really true, or is that just preacher talk? And I said to her, I said, well, look what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. Jesus didn't die for a faceless humanity. He died for you. And so when we read those words, Revelation 1:5, to Him who loves us, you know, I think for a lot of us, we have difficulty receiving God's love and believing that God really loves us. I just read a book, a biography by a man named Hadley Baker, and it's called No Longer a Slave. It was about his experience with addiction and how he broke free from addiction. And one of the key things in his testimony is the fact that he believed lies about himself. He believed, because of his growing up and because of this massive father wound that he had, he believed that he was unloved, that he was unlovable. Not just unloved, but unlovable. Nobody can love me. I'm damaged goods. I'm a piece of trash. And that he was unwanted. No one wants me. And he had such tremendous guilt and shame. And he was chained to this sin. And he said, you know, I never could break free from my addiction to pornography and sexual sin until I started to believe and receive the truth. I'm not unloved. Jesus loves me. God loves me. The Holy Spirit loves me. I'm not unlovable. I'm not damaged goods to the point where God says, forget you. I am made in the image of God. And as it says in Deuteronomy, you know, when the Lord explains why He chose Israel, He said, I didn't choose you, Israel, because you were greater than any other nation. I chose you and I put my love on you because it was my divine choice. And God chose to love Israel. God chose to love you and me. Adrian Rogers used to say, you know, you're not, God doesn't love you because you're valuable. You're valuable because God loves you. And so unloved, that's a lie. We are loved. Unlovable, that's a lie. We're made in the image of God. He sent His Son for us. Unwanted, well, that's a lie. The Lord wants us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to see you and me bow our knees before Him in repentance and contrition and faith, put our faith and trust in the Lord our God. Say with John, my Lord and my God, with Thomas, who has the moniker doubting Thomas. Say with Thomas, John chapter 20, my Lord and my God, and surrender our lives to him. That's what he wants. And to trust him and to keep our eyes fixed on him, the author and perfecter of faith. So he loves us. Hey, in the midst of everything going on in your life, in the midst of all the uncertainty going on in our lives, we need to remember the Lord really does love us. And he really is at work in our lives. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we're talking about the love of God and the truth of Scripture. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about what to do when you get overwhelmed with all of the negative news of the day. You know, I feel for people that just, you know, have to swim in this stuff every single day for hours and hours a day. Sean Hannity, and when Rush Limbaugh would you know, be on the air for 3 hours a day, and that's just, they're just talking about current events, and it tends to always be negative. And, you know, it's important for us to know what's going on. And as I said in the first segment, you know, that's why I'm very grateful for American Family Radio, American Family Association, because it keeps us informed in the truth. But if you're not balancing current events with the truth of God's Word, and if you're not keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, your heart's going to start filling up with fear. Your heart's going to fill up with worry. Your heart's going to fill up with anger. You're just going to be up and down and all around, and it's not a good way to live. So we need to keep ourselves grounded in the truth. And God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we're talking about Revelation chapter 1, Revelation, the blessing book, the revelation of Jesus Christ, not plural, not revelations, but the unveiling, the revealing. We get apocalypse from that word revelation in the Greek. And apocalypsis, and that the book of the Revelation reveals Jesus Christ, and John sees Jesus in all his glory, and he falls at his feet as a dead man. John, who would put his head on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper, John, who spent a lot of time with Jesus, John, who saw Jesus even at the Transfiguration, when he sees Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, he sees him in all his beauty and all his glory. And like I said, he falls at his feet as a dead man. And the Lord had to lay his right hand upon him and say, do not be afraid, and raises him up. But we read about Jesus that he loves us. To him who loves us, Revelation 1:5, and released us from our sins by his blood. When I preached on Sunday this passage, I entitled the message, By His Blood, because we were celebrating the Lord's Supper, and Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, or the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 11, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And Jesus said, this is my body which is given for you, this is my blood which is shed for you. And not only does the Lord love us, but he releases us from our sins. And how does he do that? By his blood. You know, one of the things that we need to constantly remember is that we, in and of ourselves, are sinners before God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Before Jesus entered our lives, before we realized the terrible situation we were in, every single one of us were on the highway to hell. And no hope. We were without hope and without God in the world, as it says in the book of Ephesians. Helpless, hopeless sinners. Sinners four times over. Sinners by birth. Sinners by nature. Sinners by choice. Sinners by practice. Sinners. And what do you get? You know, we have that phrase, crime doesn't pay. Well, sin doesn't pay in one sense, doesn't pay in the positive, but it sure pays in the negative. Because Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. It pays in death, hell, eternal separation from God. Not only does your body die, but you're going to be spiritually dead forever and ever. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, this is the second death, the lake of fire. That's what the Bible calls hell, the lake of fire, the second death. And all of us were on the highway to hell. And without Jesus coming and dying for our sins on the cross in our place, we would all be sunk. And God would be just and righteous to send us all to hell. Because he is holy, 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 and the soul who sins shall die. But it says that he released us by his blood, released us from our sins. He paid the price for our sins, and the price was his blood. Now, some people have asked the question, and it's a good question, what's the deal about the blood? Why does God require a blood sacrifice? You see, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. Now watch this. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You say, why does there have to be a blood sacrifice? Well, the Bible answers that question. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement, to make covering for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and following, the Lord says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. You think about God redeeming you and me. Well, if it had been a financial transaction, well, all the silver, all the gold belong to God. That's nothing for God to pay for you and me financially, but it costs God to give his son. And people have said, well, you know, the father gave his son and Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow, and the father didn't give his life on the cross. No, the father gave his son, and the son gave his life on the cross. And anybody who has children knows that it would be easier to give yourself than to give your child. But we don't want to see our children suffer. And for God to willingly give his son for you and for me, for Jesus to willingly go to the cross for you and for me, that just shows how much he loves us. And remember, God doesn't love you because you're valuable. You're valuable because God loves you. So the Lord released us from our sins by his blood. We sing that song, oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. Now, remember this. There is no sin that you can commit, that I can commit, that is greater, more powerful than the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's only one sin in the Bible that the Lord said is unforgivable, and that he calls it the unpardonable sin, the unforgivable sin. And people have racked their brain trying to figure out, what is that? You know, is that adultery? Is that murder? Is that, some said, well, that's suicide, you know, suicide, because then if you commit suicide, you can't ask for forgiveness. No, the only sin that God can't forgive is when you reject him, when you reject the forgiver. because that is a sin that how can I forgive when you reject my forgiveness? And Jesus calls it blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, to convict you that you're a sinner and that God is righteous and you're facing judgment. I think about my salvation. I realized that I was a sinner and I was lost, and if I died, I would go to hell. Judgment was coming, and the Lord was righteous in doing that, and I cried out to the Lord Jesus to save me, and he did. And so if you reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit, if you reject the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you reject the drawing of the Holy Spirit, well, you're done, because that is, you've blown up the only bridge that you can cross, and that's why that is an unforgivable sin. But any sin that you have in your life, any sin that you're struggling with, any sin that is eating your lunch, any sin that you just say, I just am having such a hard time, I can't seem to break free, I can't seem to get victory, just know that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than that sin. Sometimes we have people living in guilt and shame. Don't elevate your sin above God's Son and the blood he shed on the cross. Hey, he released us from our sins by his blood. And then it goes on to say he made us a king to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. As the contemporary English version puts Revelation 1:6, he lets us rule as kings and serve God his Father as priests. So Jesus loves us. He released us from our sins by his blood, and then he exalted us. I mean, we go, when you receive Christ, it says in Colossians chapter 1, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I mean, you talk about going from the outhouse to the penthouse. I mean, you go from being a child of the devil, a child of wrath, to a child of God, to a son of the king, and he made us to be a kingdom of priests, or to rule as kings and serve God, his Father, as priests. I mean, we have such an exalted position in the Lord. I like how Peter puts it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. As it says in Exodus chapter 19, we are God's special treasure, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I still remember when Damon Shook preached years and years and years ago, probably 30 years ago, on this passage of Scripture. And he says, notice what it says. You are these things. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. You are that you may. You are that you may. Hey, when we believe the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ, that we are loved, we are lovable, we are wanted. The Lord wants you. You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. And when we understand that we're a child of the King of Kings, we're, as we used to sing that song, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm a part of the family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, as a Bill Gaither song from yesteryear. But when we understand the truth, man, we have something so wonderful to share. And it makes us want to tell our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, hey, look what has happened to me. And the same thing that the Lord did for me, he can do for you too. Because you're not unloved, you're not unlovable, you're not unwanted. The Lord of glory wants you. Send his Son for you. Jesus died for you. And so we have something great to share. We have been exalted. I shared Sunday about a friend of mine, a Jewish believer, and when I used to ask him how he was doing, He would always answer the same way. Blessed and highly favored. How you doing, Marty? Blessed and highly favored. And I remember at first when I heard that, I was like, ah, that seems kind of arrogant. Why would you say it like that? And then I started thinking, well, that's the truth. That's not arrogance speaking. That's gratitude speaking. How are we doing as Christians? What's the real score? You know, we had that cheer, or at least I remember the cheer when I was in high school playing basketball, and the cheerleaders would start that cheer. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon rind. Look at the scoreboard and see who's behind. So when we look at the scoreboard from Scripture of what it means to be a Christian, we say, I am blessed and highly favored because I'm a child of the King, and He has made us to be a kingdom of priests. Priest to His God and Father. What does a priest do? A priest is the one that intercedes for the people. You know, the people in the Old Testament had to go to the priest. The priest would intercede for them. But now we're a kingdom of priests. We have access to God. We go to God directly. We don't have to go through another person. And the throne room of God is open, and the veil of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. Hey, when you focus in on the truth, Jesus loves you, Jesus freed you by His blood, Jesus has exalted you, transferred you from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His glorious light, in whom we have in His Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then lastly, remember that the Lord is coming again for you. And it says in Revelation 1:7, behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over Him. Even so, amen. And then what it says of the Father is true of the Son. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hey, have you gotten worried and bothered as you've been looking around at things, at the circumstances of life? Put your eyes back on Jesus. He loves you. He released you from your sins by His blood. He exalted you. He's coming again to rescue you and me. We have so much to be grateful for. Hey, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to hear from you. And if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, give me a call and let's talk. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, we've been talking about the truth of God's Word that grounds us in a world of uncertainty. It is very, very important that you don't get your eyes off the Lord and on to circumstances, because that will cause you to fear. And that's Peter walking on the water, and then seeing the wind, he became afraid and he began to sink. You will sink in your Christian life if you take your eyes off the Lord. Psalm 46 is a great psalm to refer to often, especially when the bottom drops out. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, hey, though everything seems to be falling apart, we don't have to fear, because we know from Revelation 1 and so many other scriptures, but that He loves us, the Lord Jesus loves us, God loves us, He sent His Son for us, the Lord released us from our sins by His blood, He died for us, He shed His blood for us. The Lord has made us to be a kingdom priests of our God and Father, of His God and Father, and the Lord is coming again for us. I don't know when He's coming. He just said, you be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. And so we just wait. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you know, Paul wasn't in Thessalonica very long, but he taught them about the return of Christ. He taught them about the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he told them to wait for Him who delivers us from the wrath that is to come. They had turned, he said, from idols to God, to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come is the tribulation period, that 7-year period of time. That's when it becomes a one-world government, and the Antichrist takes control, the devil's man of sin takes control, and the Lord is going to deliver us from that. And I know that not all people believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, but I believe the Bible teaches that. And to discount that, I saw somebody the other day saying, there is no rapture. You guys that are talking about a rapture, you're spreading lies. Well, I didn't write 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but it talks about the snatching away. The Lord is going to come and snatch away those who believe in Him. And that's called our blessed hope. We're to encourage one another with these words. And so the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, that's when the Lord comes. And He is going to seize us to be with Him. So we have something great to look forward to. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ, who's going to come and deliver us from the wrath to come. Well, we have Jim on the line from South Dakota. Jim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Jeff. How's it going, Pastor Jeff?
Good, Jim. How's it going with you?
Good, good. Well, not so quick. It's a deep theological question. I've been doing studying about once saved, always saved. And I firmly believe that once you accept Jesus, you cannot be snatched from His hands. But then I come across scriptures such as Revelation 3:5, where He's writing the letter to the church in Sardis, where He says, your name will be blotted out of the book of life. Well, if your name is blotted out, doesn't it have to be in there?
No, Revelation 3. Well, let me just stop you there, Jim. So Revelation 3:5 says this, He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. So it says the opposite of that. It says He's not going to do that.
Okay, and then you look at Galatians 5:4, uh-huh, where he's talking about the circumcision. I may have the verse wrong, but the chapter's right.
Right. Galatians 5:4, you're right.
And yeah. You know, I look at where it says, if those that got circumcised are estranged from God, And the last thing is the parable of the coin, the lost sheep, and the son. I went as far as looking up the Greek word for lost. Mm-hmm. And it says to kill and destroy. Well, to be lost, don't you have to be in Christ and free will? You got free will to accept him. Don't you have free will to walk away?
Well, we were all lost in Adam. So every person is lost from that standpoint. The Galatians 5 situation, Jim, is this. So Paul is talking to these Christians in the region called Galatia. And he's saying, hey, chapter 3, this is the one thing I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Well, it's obviously by hearing with faith. That's just a rhetorical question. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? Now, the argument he makes in Galatians 5 is that if you're trying to make yourself right with God through the works of the law, through circumcision, then guess what? You've fallen out of grace. He's not saying you lost your salvation. He's saying you're not operating out of grace anymore. You're trying to be justified by the law. And by the law, nobody is justified, as he says in chapter 2, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So he's saying you're getting off the path of grace through faith, and you're going a path of works, as the false teachers had come in, and we call them the Judaizers. They're saying, oh yeah, you need Jesus plus the law of Moses and plus circumcision and plus the works of the law. And Paul says, no, you don't. And so don't get off the playbook of grace, because that is how you walk with God. That's how you know the Lord. That's how you walk with the Lord. So he's not telling them that you've lost your salvation. He's saying you've gotten off the road of grace. You've been severed from Christ. Now you're trying to earn your salvation, which you never will. And so that is not a passage that teaches you can lose your salvation. It's just a passage and the whole book of Galatians saying, how do you walk with the Lord? It's by grace through faith. You receive Christ by grace through faith. Colossians 1:2-6, therefore having let's see, what does it say? I've gone blank on that. Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord by grace through faith, so walk in him. We walk in him by grace through faith. It's grace and faith the whole way in the Christian life. It's not the works of the law. And that's the point he's making in Galatians. So, yeah, Jim, when you understand salvation, that we are, Ephesians 1, we are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, whom he has given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. The arabon is the Greek word that's used there. And that means that the Holy Spirit is our down payment. He's our engagement ring, so to speak. And the Lord is saying, I'm never going to break up with you. I have told you that I'm going to marry you. I've told you that I have purchased you. Here's the earnest money. Here's the down payment. I've given you my Spirit. And because I've given you my Spirit, just know I'm never breaking up with you. I'm never breaking this contract, because you have my very life living inside of you. And so that's why those who, in my estimation, who have a an honest, right view of the New Testament know that, hey, once you're saved forever. Now, there are a lot of people that claim to be saved and they're not. Judas claimed to be saved, but he wasn't. And 1 John chapter 2, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For they, if they had been really of us, they would have remained with us. How do we know that somebody is true blue? Because they don't defect. And people who defect, who deconstruct their faith, so to speak, and walk away from the faith, we say, well, they lost their salvation. No, they didn't. They never had it. Because if you truly have it, you won't walk away from that. It says in Matthew chapter 24 that those who endure to the end will be saved. And the reason that those who endure to the end will be saved, it's because those who are really saved endure to the end. It's not that we hold on to Jesus, and if we can just hold on to him long enough and endure to the end, then we're saved as we hold him. No, he holds us, and he never lets us go. So I hope that's helpful to you, Jim. Thanks for that question. I appreciate you calling in, listening to the program. We have Tyson on the line from Texas. Tyson, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning, sir. I have a quick, you said something earlier about taking our eyes off Christ, and it made me think about sometimes politics. If God is sovereign, he decides who he puts into office, who's going to, I could take a whole room full of truly saved believers who also kind of pay attention to politics. We could be in a Bible study, and just the mention of something political could take our focus from what we were there to do, which is to honor God, to study the Word, and immediately go into how much we despise this particular issue or this particular issue in politics in particular. And I find that often, especially with believers that I know, that our eyes can so easily be taken from Christ. Christ prayed that we be unified, and politics could almost become an idol. And I just kind of wanted to know your thoughts on that issue.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tyson. I think you're right, and we have to be careful with that. I mean, politics has intersected so much with morality, and those who say, well, you know, preachers shouldn't talk about political things, and abortion is a political thing. Abortion is a moral thing. Transgenderism, political thing. That's a moral thing. The LGBTQIA+ agenda, that's a moral thing. And so there's intersection there, and we have to stand up for the truth. I try and be careful to not, from the pulpit, say things about specific people. So whether it's Trump or Biden, you know, I'll talk about the left and the right, and I'll talk about, you know, issues related to the scripture. Obviously, God is pro-life. God is not for the killing of the unborn. He's not for the maiming of children through the insanity of transgender dysphoria and all that stuff. And so we can speak very confidently on those things, but you're exactly right. That can become an idol, and people can get too enmeshed in these things. And it changes. I mean, if you're living off the news cycle, it just changes all the time. And so we have to know what's going on, like the men of Issachar who understood the times and what Israel should do. We have to understand the times. But we have to know that, you know, ultimately our kingdom is not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, as Jesus said to Pilate, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would fight. And he's talking about physically fight so that he wouldn't be delivered. We don't physically fight, but we do fight. We fight on our knees. We fight by standing up for the truth. We fight by being courageous to give a testimony to the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And I really think that, especially in a political season, it's an opportunity for Christians to say, listen, anything in the political realm, it's we are on a sinking ship, and you're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, ultimately, because this thing is going down, and God is going to judge the world because of sin. Now, we want to preserve it. I heard Robert Jeffress say, you know, what is our job? Our job is it's like the dam that's getting ready to break and destroy the village. He said our job is to try and keep the dam up for as long as possible for the purpose of sharing the gospel and getting those people out and telling them to flee from the wrath and the judgment that is to come. And so that's our job, is to try and hold up that wall as long as possible. It's a losing proposition, but it's a worthy endeavor. and we are watchmen on the wall, and we stand there and we warn people, hey, the enemy is coming and you need to be ready. And just as Noah, as he was building the ark, said, this is the ark of safety. Judgment is coming, but if you get on the ark with me, you can be saved. And that's our job as Christians, to be faithful witnesses to the fact that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, good question, good observation, Tyson. I appreciate you calling in. Kimberly, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. Hey, thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I hope Debbie will be with me tomorrow. Because it's Wednesday. So go out, shine and share, and let the Lord use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.